Ko tēnei te wā mō ngā kōrero e pā ana ki te tai whinua, our rural news, and we have Susan Murray with us. And Susan, as we heard before from Brian the Mayor down south, the harsh realities of this polar blast are being assessed by farmers this morning.
Indeed, these are very, very tough conditions for young lambs and newborn lambs. Simon Davies farms near Milton, south of Dunedin, and he was extremely worried about what he would find this morning because it was bitterly cold and snowed overnight, as we've been hearing, and that can kill even older lambs. He says he hasn't even checked the ewes that were lambing now because he doesn't want to disturb them, especially if they're sheltering as best they can. But he was pleasantly surprised just how well his slightly older lambs had fared.
I do have to perhaps clarify that with the fact that since I was out, we've probably had another 5 to 8 centimetres of snow. So while I previously could see the odd bit of grass, now I can't see anything. Conditions are continuing to deteriorate here. We've talked to some of the local people that live on the coast, and one lady who's been there probably the longest, 48 to 50-odd years she's been here, and this is the heaviest snowfall she believes she's ever seen.
Do you still have a portion of your flock to lamb? Did you see any of them? So you saw your older ones this morning. What about lambs that would have lambed overnight? Ewes that lambed overnight?
I have seen one set of new twins. I'm not sure that they will survive the next 24 hours.
Dean Rabich is a sheep farmer near Wyndham, northeast of Invercargill, and he says the wind chill is a real issue there.
Yesterday afternoon, sort of, it wasn't too bad. Like, I finished the day quite positive about how things had gone. There hadn't been too many losses, or there hardly been any losses. But then it turned for the worse overnight, and the wind chill got right up. And that's what does the damage to the newborn lambs. So all the lambs that we put covers on yesterday, they're fine. No worries at all. So we've just been doing the same this morning, putting covers back on newborn lambs. Again, we're just fortunate to be in a position where we've got most of the lambing done, so we can concentrate our resources on doing that. The guys around the Hokanui area and northern Southland High Country that are just really starting, it's going to be pretty tough work for them, and up around that Mar Flat area as well. Those guys are just kicking off, we're in the middle of lambing, so it's going to be not worth thinking about what could be going on with them, but yeah, thoughts are with them.
Dean Rabich. Meanwhile, Luke Kane milks cows in Tapanui near Gore and says it was -5 degrees when he arrived to work. There was 2 centimetres of snow on the backs of the cows, and this morning extra staff have been called in to help make sure all stock are fed and looked after as best as possible.
Yeah, realistically, like, I mean, we can handle a bit of snow, but that, yeah, like you say, that wind chill factor is that's something that's just really hard to manage, really. And then, yeah, snow melt is obviously going to create flooding. So, yeah, we're a low-lying farm as well. So, you get a large volume of snow over a large catchment, it's got to go somewhere.
Luke Kane. The Labor Party appears to doubt claims that COVID-free nations could provide workers for the coming summer fruit harvest. That is because it is sceptical about the claim that countries said to be COVID-free are in fact COVID-free. The National Party and Horticulture New Zealand says workers from the Recognised Seasonal Employer, or RSE scheme, should be able to work in New Zealand if they come from countries that don't have COVID. The World Health Organization lists both Solomon Islands and Vanuatu as not having reported cases of COVID, and both nations have traditionally supplied RSE workers for New Zealand. But Labour's agriculture spokesperson Damien O'Connor is concerned about the veracity of their COVID-free status.
None of these little islands are completely free of risk, and we need to ensure that our border policies are robust and that we don't allow COVID to come into the country with RSE workers or anyone else.
So with countries that have got no reported cases of COVID, there could be cases that haven't been reported. Is that what you're worried about?
Look, we are not over, you know, the border controls that they have in each of these countries. Many are not as robust as New Zealand has, and so we're mindful that, you know, there may be COVID in some of these countries, and so that's why everyone that comes into New Zealand must come under a strict regime, and we're working through with horticulture, with agriculture, to ensure the high skills people can come in, and where there's an acute shortage, we work to address that.
Okay, but at this stage there's no work being done on maybe letting people from Vanuatu, say, come in. That's not something that you're doing work on.
Look, we are, of course, working on all these areas of worker shortage or potential worker shortage. They won't occur in probably till December, so we have some time to work through this carefully. And as we know, every week the situation with COVID changes around the world, and the risk profile does as well.
Damien O'Connor, agriculture spokesman for the Labor Party. An agribusiness expert says Chinese consumers are still eager to buy healthy products sold in New Zealand, despite sales through a key channel being disrupted by COVID. Yesterday, the specialty dairy company A2 Milk revised down its forecast earnings because of the impact border closures and COVID-19 lockdowns are having on the Daigou channel. Daigous are professional shopping agents in New Zealand and Australia who purchase products such as infant formula and Manuka honey to resell to clients in China. Nick Lees, an agribusiness management lecturer from Lincoln University, says the challenges for this channel are centred around freight logistic issues, and it does not mean that demand has waned in China.
There's a real need amongst the Chinese consumers to buy products that are sold and available in either Australia or New Zealand. They want to be buying products that New Zealand or Australian babies are being fed. And most of them also want to buy it from somebody that they know or can recognise as somebody that they trust. So, you know, it's different to just buying something off, you know, online. They want to buy it from somebody whom they can see on Facebook and know that that's a real person who's sending the product to them.
Nick Lees from Lincoln University. And finally, voters in Switzerland will decide this weekend whether to allow wolves to be shot if they threaten farm animals. Current law allows wolves to be shot if they attack 25 farm animals a month, but the referendum would lower that threshold. And that ends our rural news for today.